You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday morning. Good morning to you. Welcome. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us. You know it's a good thing. Don't fight it. Yeah. I had kind of an interesting, thoughtful weekend. Yeah, how about that? In my head, on Friday, before I even do that, thank you to everybody who took a look at, if you have Amazon Prime, took a look at the documentary, Bravo, Common Men, Uncommon Valor. I want to say Friday afternoon, didn't even need Saturday, Friday afternoon, they went over 100 reviews. And so, well done to everybody who helped out. Very, very cool stuff. Let me see if I can find it to see where they're at right now. Here you go. Bravo on Amazon. 113 reviews. Well done, boys and girls. Nice. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, it's worth a watch. And I'll give you a few reasons. And I'll tell you kind of what got me thinking over the weekend. So, last week we have on kind of the progression is we talk about the book Struggle Well. Okay. So, in the course of talking about the book Struggle Well, we talk about the guy who wrote the introduction, the foreword, I think it is. His name is Charlie Plum. He's a Navy guy. So, in the course of discussing Charlie Plum and the reason he wrote the foreword, the statistic comes up that 4% of American POWs who were at the Hanoi Hilton in North Vietnam, that's where Hanoi was, still is actually, and only 4% diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. Okay? And I know it's not a disorder, but that's the diagnosis, okay? The number for the conflict is approximately 30%. So I have in my head, why would that number be absolutely, positively at the opposite end of the spectrum than I expect it to be? How could people that experience something so in your face, not have that diagnosis? Makes no sense to me, right? Right. So I have that in my head. Okay, so on whatever it was, probably Friday, I go ahead and I watch, because you got, in order to review Bravo, you had to watch it, okay? And then, to be honest with you, I don't even know if I'm a member of Amazon Prime. I'm a member of Amazon. I watch it, and then they tell me I couldn't review it because I couldn't review it because I didn't have enough points. I was like, what kind of bullshit is this? So anywho, yeah, it kind of irritated me, to be honest with you. All right, so, but I'm watching it, and I'm sitting here doing some work, and at the end of the documentary, these guys talk about their lives since the war. And their lives since the war, they talk about being in and out of relationships, they talk about, you know, about drinking, and I'm thinking, okay, why such a different narrative than the Hanoi thing? Okay. Why so different? So that's been bouncing around in my head. Okay. Now, the differences between the two groups, one are almost 100% pilots. Which meant they're older. I don't know that college educated makes a difference, but they went to college. So I'm trying to footnote it. Why? Why such a difference? You know, and then guys at Kaesan, on the average, 18 to 20 years old. High school educated. And they saw the war from a different perspective, from a different view, right? They saw it from the worm's eye, not from whatever you, when you were flying. So, I don't know. I'd be curious if you have an opinion about that or if you have thoughts about it, I'd be curious to hear them. Cause I'm officially intrigued about that, the dichotomy between the two. Okay, so I spent some. My next door neighbor Wilson, that'll be his name, Wilson, out of what was that show Tim Allen was in? Tool Time? No, Tool Time was a bit they did. I can't remember whatever the name of the show Tim Allen did, but yeah, Wilson was a guy you never saw, but he's on the other side of the fence. Rick was a Navy A-4 pilot. And so, when I moved in, he came over. I put up the Marine Corps flag. He comes walking over. He sees the stuff I have in my garage. He's like, this is righteous, man. He goes, it's about time. We had some quality people move in on the block. And so, anyway, he's a good dude. So I asked him, and he said, I didn't know, and he didn't know that out of the Hanoi Hilton that it was 4% either. And I said, yeah. And he said, wow, he said, that is interesting. So, anyways, if you have any thoughts, I'd be curious about it, because it's occupied in my head. The other thing that's occupied my head is, and you're going to hear another installment of Battlefield Studies on Wednesday, and we'll talk about this. We'll record it this afternoon. But I was introduced to retired Marine Corps General Richard Butch Neal. Okay, never known as Richard, but Butch Neal. Anyway, General Neal from the Boston area. My God. So anyway, I get introduced to him. He was going to come on and talk about his book. And I said, hey, sir, here's what I'd like to do. I would like to do two things with you. I'd like to do kind of a battlefield study of a battle that he was in. And then I'd like to bring it back, and I'd like to talk about your book. And he said, that's fine with me. So he said, have you read your book? And I said, no, I'm going to read it this weekend. So I dive into Neil's book. It's called What Now, Lieutenant? And what I expected kind of was, this is my life. That's not what he did when he wrote the book. He goes through different key points of in his life. And kind of takes you along that little trip of his, people that made a difference in his life and whatnot. One of the key parts of the book is a fight that they got into, that he got into. He goes to Vietnam, second lieutenant, artillery guy. Yeah, he's going to take some heat about that today. Not even a grunt. What the hell? So he's an arty guy. And he goes and he's an FO. A forward observer for a company, and they get into some scrapes, but nothing significant according to him. And then he gets assigned to be the fire direction officer for a battery, and the battery is going to support one of the amphibious efforts the Marine Corps put together. So they kind of put together these kind of fire brigades that they would have aboard ship, and they would when something got going, they would put ashore with all their stuff. So, anyway, as I'm reading, how do I say this? He says, he talks about going to Okinawa as part of the fire direction cell for this battery. But he meets the guys in one of the companies, and he starts hanging out with them, one of the rifle companies, India 39. And he hits it off with them. He goes out partying with them and having a good time. And so, he goes back to the battery, and he says, hey, I'd like to go back. I'd like, if there's an opportunity for me to go back, in order for me to go back to, I'd like to go back to be an FO, if there's a chance. And a couple weeks later, it happens, and he goes back to India 39. All right, so they get tasked, when they go back to Vietnam, with participating in an operation called, excuse me, Prairie 3. So Vietnam is kind of intriguing to me. It never was before because it was too confusing to me. Viet Cong, and I will tell you what, Vietnam is confusing, okay? It is confusing. And for those of you who study history, Vietnam is so many different things all at the same time. And then that kaleidoscope changes depending on what year you are, okay? So it's all these different things simultaneously, and then it changes, it morphs over the years. So, and you heard people come on the program, depending on where you were, if you were providing security near the coast at Da Nang or Dong Ha, then you tended to be fighting the Viet Cong. So IEDs, ambushes, stuff like that. If you were further up into I Corps in the north of South Vietnam near the DMZ, and if you were inland, you were getting it on with the formidable North Vietnamese Army. who would close with you and who would whack you if you weren't paying attention. So even sometimes when you were paying attention. So I've learned a lot about Vietnam. I have a Google Earth map. This is what a dork I am, okay? I have a Google Earth map that has all my Vietnam studies on it, okay? It has General Lynch's LZ Margo stuff on it. It has a whole bunch of different LZs. It has all the base camps that were used by the Marine Corps. It has the Quezon stuff and the hills around Quezon. So, I know that, man. Like, yeah, Mac, you're pegging the dork meter. I know that. Okay. I know that. So I'm looking at my map, and I look at it, and I'm like, well, you know what's not on here is the DMZ. And so when you look at this operation, and you hear names like Con Tien and Firebase Jiaolin, they're stuffed up just south of the DMZ. As far north as they could stuff these fire bases, they stuffed them. And so now I'm looking for something that I can download. There's files that you can download on the internet for Google Earth. They're called KML files, I think. So I'm looking for one that has the DMZ already mapped out. Can't find it. I find one map that has it. I start plotting it. I look at it. I'm like, that ain't right. You know, the last part of it's a straight line. So I then Google DMZ, Vietnam. The demilitarized zone in Vietnam is adjacent to the 17th parallel. All right, so Vietnam's demilitarized zone, or DMZ, is the area around the border, the former border between North and South Vietnam. Historically, it was a narrow band of terrain extending from Laos to the coast, 5 kilometers on either side of the Ben Hai River, roughly on the 17th parallel north of latitude. Okay, you got that? So if you follow the Ben Hai River, and you mark points 5 kilometers north and south, you'll have the DMZ. So I spend 3 hours on Saturday afternoon putting the DMZ on my map. Now, I know that you might say, like, okay, dude, you got issues, but I love maps. I love maps. Man, when I read history, you know, history, you can make history come alive if you got a map. Okay, and I learned that a long time ago. I used to haunt used bookstores and go in there and just, if I'd see a used bookstore, I'd go in and I'd just look at the map section. I know, it makes me a dork, okay? But you are what you are at the end of the day. And so I sat down on Saturday, and I didn't mean to. It kind of started and it just didn't stop. So 3 hours later, boom, DMZ on my map. So that takes me to, you know, as I'm now that I have the DMZ plotted, I can now go and I can plot what General Neil talks about in his book, which leads me to a second dilemma that I'm going to get to here in a second. Okay, so I know, very long-winded, Mac. I know, wish you'd be a little bit more to the point today. Okay, so you've already heard my first thing that's in my head, and that is why the difference between post-traumatic stress between the Hanoi Hilton and the rest of the population. 30% for the conflict, 4% for the Hanoi Hilton. What? Yeah, why? So that's in my head. Now, Neil describes an operation, and you'll hear it in detail on Wednesday, but he describes an operation, the operation known as Hastings, as Prairie 3. So I'm reading about Prairie 1 and 2. Are you kidding me, man? Prairie 1, they kill like 1,200 NVA soldiers in Prairie 1. It takes, I want to say it's in January of 1967. 1,200. It's probably closer to 1,300. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it in service. So I'm like, the battles up there were incredible, you know, and I don't really know that much about them, okay? But I'm learning, okay? I'm learning. So anyway, I read about Prairie 1, and I read about Prairie 2, and it's just in preparation, and then I go back to Neil's book. So I'm reading, and Neil starts talking about John Bobo, lieutenant type, okay? Now, for those of us who are officers, who've ever been to the basic school, let alone our infantry officers, the name Bobo immediately makes you stop. First of all, there's not too many Bobos in the Marine Corps. Lieutenant Bobo in Vietnam is a Medal of Honor recipient. And his story is his unit gets hit. They're trying to break contact and you'll hear more of the story here in a minute, but, the short version is he gets hit. I want to say lower part of his leg blown off. They put a tourniquet on his leg. He takes a machine gun and he sticks his stump in a hole to staunch the bleeding, to slow the bleeding. And he covers the withdrawal of his platoon and is mortally wounded and killed. He's killed doing that. John Bobo. So I see that name. I'm like, ooh. So now what Neil describes is a movement into bad guy country up towards the DMZ. And he says, you know, we're out there patrolling and essentially doing a movement to contact as a company, India 3-9. We can see, based on the people we're bumping into, these guys are well-equipped, and based on the signs we see in terms of trails and whatnot, that they're all over the place. There's a lot of them. So they get an order. They get an order to set in three platoon ambushes. The company commander says no. Or the company commander pushes back and says, this doesn't sound like a good idea to me. So the operations officer tells them, yeah, well, that's what we want you to do. So in the orders group that he has, he brings his lieutenants in and he's giving them the order. I want to say the first platoon commander says, hey, sir, that's not a good idea. Let's just tell them we're in those three places, but stay as a company. Company commander says, yeah, I don't like to do that. I don't want to do that. If that's what they want, that's what we're doing. So here's how we're going to do it. You know, we're going to obey the order. You're going first platoon, second platoon, less one squad that's going to go with third platoon is going to go here with the company CP, and then third platoon's going, yeah, okay. I expect, Neil, you're going with first platoon because I expect them to make contact first. And so he says, look, you're going to move out here, yada, 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 and I want you to be set in by dusk. Okay, three platoon position. At about dusk, as they're getting into their ambush position, Neil is with 1st Platoon. They hear mortars hit in the vicinity of where they know the company CP is and 2nd Platoon, the two squads of 2nd Platoon are. Okay, so the NVA walk mortars across the CP, and then they walk them back, and then they can hear AK firing and hand grenade, and they know it's on there. And so then the rest of the fight ensues. Okay. Here, my question is this. This is the third instance in which, kind of a moral dilemma for a leader comes up. And I'm going to be very interested to hear what General Neil says. And then I'm going to get Jarvis Lynch back on, you know. These guys are both, because it's the same thing. When General Lynch was on, if you heard his battlefield study about LZ Margo, he gets told to bring his battalion, about 1,000 guys, back to an LZ. He says, I can't do that. If I do that, we're going to get hammered because the NVA are watching us. Shut up and do it. And he doesn't. And they medevac 150 Marines out of that LZ after they do that. Why did they have to do it? Because there was a B-52 strike going in. Wasn't anywhere near them. But some dumb ass operations officer and battalion commander don't have enough sense to find a way to articulate to him how you can do what you do, stay dispersed so they don't become a target. And he obeys the order. I'm curious if he'd obey it again. The same thing with General Neal. He's his second lieutenant at the time. His company commander, a guy by the name of... hold on, I don't want to screw his name up. And we're gonna learn about some of the guys that are involved in this. The company commander's name is Captain Michael Peter Getlin. The battle's entitled Getlin's Corner. All right. If he were to do it again, would he obey that order to make three platoons ambushes? That guy doesn't know what you see. He's back in some CP. He's not there on the scene. He's not the on-scene commander. He's not that guy. You know, and here's, when I was a lieutenant, I didn't work for good officers very many when I was a lieutenant. The first one I worked for when I was a first lieutenant. His name was Marty Steele. The difference between working for Marty Steele and other guys was this. If Marty Steele would have told me to go do something that might have gotten me killed, I'd have done it. Because I would have known that Steele knows what he's doing, right? If he's sending me and tells me, let's just say he sends me to the Don Ha Bridge and says, Mac, you got to stay there. You got to hold that bridge, okay? And I said, yes, sir. And then he stops me and looks at me and he says, hey, I want you to know it's not going to be easy, okay? But you've got to stay. Yes, sir, I got it. And I'm staying, right? I'm going and I'm staying because I know Steele and I know what kind of officer he is. I know what kind of leader he is. And I know that he wouldn't put me out there if it wasn't significant, okay? But you work for other people and you know they're not that kind of competent and they give you an order and you get to the salute point. That's what I'm curious. Now in the Marine Corps today, we have a different system. Commander's intent, right? He tells you what he wants you to do out there. And if the situation is changed based from his estimate, or is significant enough, you tailor your mission to accomplish it along his lines of intent. Because it's a dynamic event out there, right? Enemy's got to vote and all that stuff. But would you obey the order again? Now, today we have a system that says if you go out there and it's different, then don't set in three platoon ambushes, set in one company ambush. Keep your Marines safe. Bring them back, because that's an important thing. Okay? Also, you know, accomplish the mission. That's what you're out there for. Got it. Use your brain. So it's kind of an interesting moral dilemma, because three guys in our battle study, this will be the eighth one, I think. Of the eight, this will be the third one that will have been put in a situation by somebody who doesn't know what's going on. And ultimately, who gets relieved? The three are General Lynch, when he was the OPSO at LZ Margo. I didn't know. What that guy ordered him to do was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. You know, Lieutenant at the time, Second Lieutenant Neal. I mean, that OPSO, He doesn't know what's going on. If he was out there and he saw, he wouldn't tell you to do that. But he's not. And you tell him and he's like, yeah, just do it. Do what I told you to. And then Nick War with his platoon inside the Citadel during the Tet Offensive in Hue City with 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. He loses 30 Marines in 3 frontal attacks across a street, you know, ordered by 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. So, interesting little dilemma. We don't quite do it the same way anymore. I don't know that a lieutenant has the authority to not do what he's told. Alright? Now, in my head though, I can hear Jim Bathurst talking about, you know, obeying orders, but he tweaked them. Because he didn't feel like the guys that were giving him the orders knew what they were talking about. So, anyway, so those things occupied my thoughts over the weekend. Moral dilemma of leadership. Okay? You have somebody on the other end of the radio who doesn't really understand. They say they do, but they don't. Because you're hearing the words that are coming out of their mouth. And they're telling you to do something that you think is stupid. What do I do? Anyway, and then ultimately when you quote unquote do the right thing and you do what they tell you to do, what happened out of this was a Medal of Honor, Lieutenant Bobo, 4 Navy crosses. 4 Navy crosses, and I want to say another 4 Silver Stars. Yeah, so that means what happened was a lot of people either lost their lives, 15 Marines killed, 40-something wounded, because somebody had their head up their ass. All right, so anyway, we'll get the program going today. So that's what I thought about over the weekend. Yeah, and if you're looking for a DMZ, if you're looking for a Google file for the Vietnamese DMZ for your Google Earth, shoot me an email. I got one. Yeah. Anyway, good morning. United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Dedicated to everybody who did a review for Ken and Betty Rogers. Why is that significant? It's significant because it exposes their work to more people. And I think I would almost say, if you want to understand struggle well, watch Bravo before you begin the book. Okay. Watch Bravo before you begin the book. So this is dedicated to everybody who did well and reviewed that documentary. Nice going.
We fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather in Marineland. Caught in 67 degrees in Quantico. No storm warning. That means there's no wind. Who knew? Currently, it is clouds in 68 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny in Granbury, Texas, in a high and a current temperature of 74. Montana, sun in 59 right now. Boom! Up with the other kids. 29 Palms got hot all of a sudden. Cloudy in 73 right now, partly cloudy in 73. Pendleton, coastal temperatures, clouds in 58. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 77. Marja, about the same, clear dark in 86. At the home of All Marine Radio, mostly cloudy, 57 degrees. Partly sunny skies today and a high of 72. Partly sunny and 75 tomorrow, and on Wednesday, sun and 76. That's exactly perfect. When you say partly sunny in California, that means there's like a couple of clouds in the sky. And when you say partly sunny on the East Coast, it means like, yeah, clouds everywhere. It doesn't mean that in California. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll check some news headlines. Alex Holling is going to join us. He from SoftRep, so we'll talk with him. He's like, he's like the Energizer Bunny of discussion. So we'll talk to him about a whole bunch of stuff. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning. Thanks for joining us here. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. That's the wrong music. Okay. That's the wrong music. So we're going to back it up. We're going to do it again until we get it right. Okay, boys and girls? So that's right. That's the way we do it. What do you mean? You already started. Hey, it's not the way we do it. Okay, we screwed up. We recognize it. So here you have it. This is the way it was supposed to go.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy, crazy.
I wanted the pain, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh, well.
That's right. That's the way it was supposed to go. All right, the check some news headlines on our way to talking to Alex Hollingson. Top of the fold, and this was news last week, late last week, so that means nothing exciting happened over the weekend. 12-man rifle squads, including a squad systems operator, according to the commandant. Now, this is kind of interesting. Because we always love to screw with grunt stuff. Twelve Marines. So, what the commandant announced was three fire teams of three. Never in the history of the Marine Corps have we gone to fire teams that small. Okay? The question is whether an organization this small can suffer a casualty and still be effective. So the organization has gone down by one. Email from the man from Ohio. That's right. Ohio man. Lieutenant Bobo, wasn't the Chow Hall at OCS named after, wasn't it named Bobo Hall? We got to stare at that name when standing in line. The following year at O'Banion Hall, we got to read his Medal of Honor citation on the wall in the gold carpet area. I recall being in absolute awe at what I read. Yeah, you know, the basic school and officer candidate school, like every school in the Marine Corps, you know, at in the foyer, on the walls. You go to Corman School. That one will blow you away, too, on the West Coast. They have Medal of Honor citation, Navy Cross citations for the corpsman. And, you know, standing waiting to go to medical or something like that, that'll drop your jaw. But at the basic school and at officer candidate school, you know, Reisner Hall for Lieutenant Reisner. That's how I read, first heard of, Lieutenant Bobo was, you know, doing what Ohio man did, which was, you know, waiting to go into a chow hall, reading a Medal of Honor citation and thinking, holy shit, man, that guy was what, 10 years in front of me? You know, he was 15 in front of me, but, yeah, he stood here at some point, walked up these steps and then got fronted with that. Yeah. Same guy. Yeah, so Neil describes going on liberty with him, and I'll tease a little bit, but so you can imagine how quickly that got your attention, Bobo. Yeah, that's like saying Saint Peter to Marine infantry officers. Saint Peter, Bobo. Like what? Yeah, he said, look, he's just a great guy, and I think what he says about Bobo in the book is. If he wasn't a Marine officer, he could have easily been a priest. He was that good of a human being. And so when he did what he did, obviously it didn't surprise anybody. Okay, back to the squad. Okay, so three teams of three, squad leader, an assistant squad leader, and a squad, quote-unquote, systems operator. So that's essentially a fourth fire team. So instead of having 13, you now have 12. The problem, if you're supposed to have 12, you'll probably start with 10. So what does that get you? Two fire teams of four? You know, with the assistant. Yeah, so I don't know. It's pretty thin, if you ask me. I thought the Marine Corps was going to go bigger. They went smaller. Now, the question is, why did they go smaller? Is that the optimum configuration? Three of three? What happens if you take a casualty? You need two to drag somebody to someplace. Maybe somebody to provide security, maybe not, depending on the situation. Yeah, so I honestly was a little surprised. I was a little surprised. Every piece of equipment that the Marines will wear will change. Multi-channel radios, handheld tablets, Sizes being considered were 11, 12, 14 man arrangements. So, that in the news. Again, not a whole lot happened over the weekend, which is good for the Marine Corps. The U.S. Navy's new command puts Russia in the crosshairs. Yeah, this is kind of a new, you know, breaking story as of last week. A sharp increase in Russian naval activity in the Arctic and the North Atlantic in the years since its invasion of eastern Ukraine has prompted the U.S. Navy to resurrect a command it disestablished 7 years ago. In a ceremony marking Admiral Phil Davidson's change of command with Admiral Chris Grady, as the head of U.S. Fleet Forces Command, Chief of Naval Operations John Richardson announced the Navy was going to reestablish the Second Fleet. The command was merged into Fleet Forces Command in 2011, but the Navy has been talking about bringing it back since it appeared as a recommendation from the Strategic Readiness Review in last year's Seventh Fleet collisions. The move is the latest sign that the Navy is focusing its attention away from war on terrorism and towards its major competitors, Russia and China. So that going on, I think Hollings wants to talk about that. Story out there that U.S. Army Green Berets reportedly helped destroy a missile threat on the Saudi border. Last year, a team of Green Berets allegedly arrived in Saudi Arabia to help locate and destroy a cache of ballistic missiles and launch sites along the country's border with Yemen. And again, this is all arranged by Iran. If it's true, the mission may contradict official statements from Pentagon officials saying U.S. military assistance in the Saudi-led war against the Houthi rebels in Yemen is limited to aircraft refueling, logistics, and intelligence sharing. Few details are offered by the Times. This is the New York Times that broke the story concerning the intricacies of the Green Beret team's mission, but there is no indication U.S. forces crossed into Yemen. Still, ground forces appearing in the border region does look like an escalation of the conflict. There you have it. If it's true, nice going, boys. 10 Navy SEALs face separation after testing positive for drugs. SEALs got a problem. They have a cultural problem. The F-35B continues to have growing pains. And just to put this in context, every air platform does. When you begin to run it and work it and whatnot, the bugs surface. And then you go through another phase of unbugging. North Korea says U.S. is ruining the mood of detente ahead of the summit, making misleading claims about why North Korea. So, again, hopefully everybody, including the president, will shut their yap. You know, and again, news people can say what they want, but official people need to probably be quiet because if you can make progress here, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I'm pro parade, by the way. Trump's military parade gets support from House Republicans. Yeah. How about that? Why not? Why not honor the military at a parade? We have some cool pageantry. That's those guys' jobs to do that stuff. Max Thornberry, Republican Texas, said the event could help better highlight the sacrifices of troops and their families. He also emphasized the importance of not letting partisan disagreements distract from an opportunity to honor America's veterans. Yeah, I say it's a great idea. Just because it was the president doesn't mean he had the idea after he came home from Bastille Day in France. Like, why don't we do something like that? All right, so let me check the top five stories in Early Bird. We'll take a break. Hollings will join us. Another email. Mac, I remember General Neal from him having such a visible presence during Desert Storm. I will tell you what, General Neal had a pretty interesting career. And you know what? Here's the funny part of his career. Want to know why he chose the Marine Corps? Because of the PLC program being 6 weeks, and you could do it in two increments. And that meant he didn't have to be gone from his job because his father had passed away. He was working on a garbage truck in Massachusetts, in the whole Massachusetts, which is kind of a peninsula on the far side of Boston Harbor. Yeah, that's where he grew up. But he, that's why he joined the Marine Corps, or else he would have joined the Army. So, and he has a pretty interesting career. He distinguishes himself, obviously, in Vietnam. He goes back as an advisor, is awarded a second Silver Star, then AWS, an instructor. You know, he's, you know, obviously a quality human being, and so interesting career. Top five stories in Early Bird: Iraqi Air Force attacks ISIL targets in Syria. How about that? Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi says ISIL, which is holding positions on the Syrian border, still threatens Iraq. The Iraqi Air Force has attacked ISIL positions in Syria that were reportedly used by the group's commanders. Iraqi Prime Minister Abadi's office confirmed the attack in a statement released Sunday morning. So good on them. U.S. Navy's new command puts Russia in the crosshairs. We talked about that. As fatal aviation crashes reach a six-year high, the Pentagon says this is not a crisis. I think you're taking statements out of context. With all due respect to Military Times. You know, when I say with all due respect, you know something bad's coming after that. I would tell you that the Pentagon says every one of those crash is a tragic loss. The question is it a crisis? Every one of those will be investigated. Okay? I think if you were pointing to a time that we had an aviation crisis, it was a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. Yeah. That's when we had the crisis in aviation. Now, I think the aviation community believes it's on the upswing and the numbers get better on a monthly basis. But again, these things happen. And I think what you're paying on the backside for is you have inexperienced pilots, you have old airframes, and they may be more fragile. But again, you have every one of these is its own investigation, and a lot of times it's not as I don't want to say transparent. The answer is not as easy as one would be initially led to believe. There's another story in Marine Corps Times that I wanted to get to. Where in the hell did I see it? And it has to do with families. Oh, in Stars and Stripes. The top of the fold story in Stars and Stripes today is families of sailors who died in collisions hope for answers in court. Reports have been filed and some punishments doled out, but when the first scheduled court proceeding opens at the Washington Navy Yard tomorrow, the Navy will publicly begin hashing out what went wrong and who should be accountable. So, yeah, that is a long-awaited court-martial. Second story that I think is significant in Stars and Stripes, the U.S. and the Philippines kick off the largest multinational drills since President Duterte took office. How about that? All that rhetoric. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Alex Hollings, he of soft rep fame, he is going to join us, and we'll talk about swarming drones. We'll talk about a new U.S. Navy command. We'll get his thoughts on the three-man fire teams and the 12-man squad. Some pretty amazing stories, though, in the military. I don't have enough time to get to them. And again, if you have any thoughts on, I'm serious about your thoughts on 4% post-traumatic stress for pilots at the Hanoi Hilton, 30%, and so the rest of it would be, the majority would be ground combat guys in Vietnam. About the same 30% in Iraq, Afghanistan. Why? Why the difference? Be curious your thoughts. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.